Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. Hartley, good afternoon. How's your day been going so far?
Not very well. But tomorrow will be a better day.
Okay. Yeah, I set you up for that. I didn't know if you were going to overshare, but it's fine. Yeah. We'll let people speculate on that. Well, we got new M4 Max coming out tomorrow, but one of the exciting things that's kind of like, I guess we can kind of segue into a Mac specific topic, but it's more so Vision OS, Apple Vision Pro, new Apple Vision something, whatever it's going to be called, coming out in the future, Apple Vision Pro 2 potentially coming out in the future. We're going to talk about all of that, but first let's start with Vision OS 2.2 beta came out, and in that brought the best feature, the in my opinion, one of the best new features, got a little bit of an upgrade. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts. I know you don't have an Apple Vision Pro anymore, so I'm curious, now that you've seen some of the, like, the way it's worked, like, we posted a video on my experience here a couple days ago with the new wide and ultra wide monitors for your Mac virtual display. I think it's really, really good. And I feel like if you had this feature when you got the Apple Vision Pro, I feel like you would have kept it, or at least given it a longer shot. What do you think? Just going off of what you've seen.
I have been surprised by how positive the reviews have been, which is heartening. Mm-hmm. One thing I'd really like to know from you is just how perceptible is the higher resolution? Is it really that noticeable?
Yes, it is noticeable. It's a really good, like, noticeable difference. But I think what's better is that the foveated rendering is, like, it's still happening, but it's not like, you've tried the Mac virtual desktop before though, right? When you had yours. Okay. You noticed that it was pretty much whatever you were looking directly at was the only little bit of your Mac screen, basically, that was in focus. And the rest of it was kind of like, it like got worse, kind of bloomed out. It got worse as like the rest of the screen. This is way more of the display, the virtual display that you're looking at. It's just sharp, crisp, and in focus, which is nice. So that gives you that. And then, of course, obviously, whenever you shift your eyes over to the parts that might not be, that will become in focus too. But the not only is the resolution just that much better, but that foveated rendering being better just helps overall with the focus and what you're looking at, especially with text. I've noticed that it's just more enjoyable. I've noticed that it's just more usable. And so, yeah, I really do think you would have liked it. I'm sad that you can't. You'll have to try it someday soon.
Truthfully, will this make you use your Vision Pro more? Truthfully.
Yes.
Interesting.
But it's not the Vision Pro, like, features and software and what you can do with it that's the problem. It's still the fit. It's still just how heavy it is. That is the major flaw in all of this, is that, like, I don't want to put this thing on my head because it hurts after a certain amount of time. Now, I did just get one of those new, like, apparatuses that can, like, kind of bring the weight more to the back of your head and even things out. I have not used it yet, but I've heard good things from people who have. And there's a bunch of different variations. I just got something on Amazon that a friend of ours also used and said that it was really good and made them want to use it more. So I'm going to try that out. But I've been, honestly, since the new Vision OS 2.2 beta came out, I've been using it to just get some work done in an environment that is just, the ultra wide might be too much. I don't know if you've seen the,
really?
It's huge. Like, it takes up an insane amount of your,
so you're having to really turn your head a lot.
You really are. Yeah, you really are having to turn your head. But, like, it's fine, because what you can do is, basically, I feel like it really is two or three 27-inch displays in front of me, and at, like, good quality, very big. And so I just set up, like, three full size displayed apps on my virtual display there, you know, one on the left, one in the middle, one on the right. And then I can just kind of reference what I need to. And what I called, I don't think I said it in the video, but I wanted to, it's basically like from The Office where Dwight had mega desk. I had, like, mega virtual displays. And because I had that set up with an ultra wide, and then I put three Vision Pro apps, like one up on the upper left, one up in the upper center, and then the upper right. And, you know, you can use, if you're using a desktop app. You have your Magic Keyboard, Magic Mouse. That'll work fine between not only your virtual display, but also the Vision Pro apps. And then the same thing if you're using a MacBook, you can just use your trackpad and your the trackpad and the keyboard. So that works totally fine. So I just had so many windows. Is it overkill? Yeah, but it was cool. I don't know. I wanted to try it. I had fun.
So far, am I right in thinking that you haven't really used Vision Pro out in the field because you want to use it? Not just testing, but just out of your own sincere wish to do it because Virtual Display in its previous incarnation was not fantastic. So you think that's different now? When can you see yourself using this?
I mean, now for sure, with this new beta. The only problem that I didn't want to use Mac Virtual Display before was just because of the foveated rendering and the display quality. It was too hard to, like, when I'm editing, it's like I really need to be able to see the fine details of the timeline, see like every little bit of that little thumbnail that's there, because that's kind of how I'm going off of what I'm looking at. And then, you know, the text that I'm adding in and writing scripts, like I need to be able to see all of that pretty well. And it was difficult, but like overall, the feature of itself was amazing and it worked really, really well. And so now you take what was good about it before and add in the fact that everything is just a lot more clear and crisp. Like, it's so much more usable. It's just the problem with Vision Pro is the way it fits and feels after like 30 minutes of use. My face just needs that relief. So I have no doubts that this, I feel like I'm just getting too like hyperbolic about all of this, but like I feel like Apple Vision Pro is a success overall in terms of what you can do with it, how it looks, and all of the features and things. Obviously watching content, but now working on it is really, really good. And I just feel like with each software update, it's getting better and fixing a lot of the complaints, but they just really need to nail down the form factor. And once they can somehow bring that experience into a much more comfortable form factor, which we'll talk about in a little bit with that one that can be connected to your iPhone, and it's more of just glasses. I feel like if we can somehow get 60% of that experience that we have now and something that, you know, light on your face, I think it's just going to be huge. Do you think I'm off base? I don't know.
No, I agree. I think the biggest issue with Vision Pro, the single biggest issue, is comfort and fit. Now, there are a bunch of other issues, don't get me wrong. I mean, I actually think that the fact that it has taken us to VisionOS 2.2, which isn't even out yet, that will be out in December, is really an indication of just how unfinished the Vision Pro was when it launched. And it makes me really wish that Apple would have been more patient and waited until maybe even now to actually launch Vision Pro, when there is a lot more content for it. The software is significantly better. Even all the immersive content that has come out over the past few months, the selection of games, the ecosystem is now starting to get somewhere and starting to grow. But I feel like they missed an opportunity to build momentum with this platform, and they actually built up a little bit of negativity among people that should be enthusiastic about it, like me, just because it was unfinished.
I just want to take a quick break to talk about today's sponsor, Mando. The summer may be ending, but that doesn't mean you still aren't getting sweaty and stinky on a regular basis. Mando can certainly help with that. While they do make some pretty excellent deodorant, it's not just for your pits, but you can use Mando pretty much anywhere. The nether regions, thigh folds, belly button, your feet, anywhere that stinks. Now, I love using the deo stick for the pits and the deodorant wipes for pretty much everywhere else while on the go and certainly while traveling. Mando was created by a doctor who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. It's clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. 12 hours after a shower, the average man's grundle odor level was about a 5 out of 10. With Mando, the average odor level is about a 0 out of 10. You won't have to worry about the chemicals burning your sensitive parts either, as all products are baking soda free and paraben free. Mando's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like the mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and you get free shipping. Luckily, I have a discount code to help you get hooked on my favorite smelling whole body deodorant on the market. New customers will get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code, and that equates to over 40% off your starter pack. If you use code MAC, that's MAC, at shopmando.com, shopmando.com, that's code MAC at shopmando.com, shopmando.com. Thanks, Mando, for sponsoring this episode. So I kind of feel like I'm seeing it in a more positive light after, like, noticing how much these improvements are happening in the software, you know, release over release. I kind of feel like I don't hate the way Apple released this, honestly, because if they tried to launch this in secret, but like get more people to test it, because ultimately you need more people to test it. Developers are developers. They're really only testing it in one specific bubble for the most part. And that's just, how does their app work with the platform? Yeah. If you're a good developer, you're going to spend time using the whole thing so that you can really understand. But a lot of these, you know, a lot of these apps that are being made are just corporations, and they're like, hey, we got a deadline. You need to do this. Don't spend too much time messing around with stuff that might not ultimately matter with our app. Work with our app. And then you just kind of put yourself in this bubble of how you're developing. But when you take a step back and you launch this product, you get the hype out there, you offer regular people who are just in the store that want a the ability to test the best features, which is what they're testing. They're not seeing the bugs and things that, you know, everyday users are seeing. They're seeing the best features, which is content, being able to use it with your Mac, and just having an immersive world on your face. And they get it for 20 minutes and then they're off, and then they tell their friends. The tech, you know, enthusiasts that aren't buying it are the ones that are a little more vocal and negative about it, because they see that, yeah, oh, my scale, production scale has been dropped, you know, and so now Apple, it's a dud, it's a bust, and Apple's not focusing on it anymore. Where I hope and I think they are actually still focusing quite a bit on it, but they're looking at other alternatives in a much more faster pace than they probably wanted to, where it is like, okay, we do have something here with what we have, but we just need to get that form factor down. And we need to figure out from real world users, people who spent their hard earned cash on it, we need to figure out from them, without an NDA, without an embargo, just naturally people tweeting and posting and making videos like we are, like being able to see what is actually a problem. And how can we fix that? And I feel like with a lot of these releases, it has been happening. And oh, by the way, I still will to this day tell you that spatial photos and videos is one of the more incredible things that you'll ever experience. And with that, you know, Vision OS 2, being able to take any photo that you've taken on anything, even the ones that are from old iPhones or just any photo, and turning it into a spatial photo, it's still kind of gets me teary-eyed to this, just thinking about it, because of how good it is. I just did it a couple of days ago for the first time in a long time since the beta came out, and I started doing it with old photos. You know, I did it with my mom, just to get real sappy here, but like, lost my mom a couple months ago, and I put some photos of that, and I'm just like, I can understand the appeal to that. Just being able to like feel like you're in that room with that person again is incredible. And you don't have to do it for sad moments. You could do it with happy moments. I did it with my kids, and I'm just like, man, I was just there 2 weeks ago. This feels like I'm there in that moment again. And if they can figure out a way to get videos to look like that, because the photos look good, the videos, you know, that's the next step. Like, oh, doing that in a form factor that you can, you know, have quickly and easily put on your head and you're not being hurt by it is something that I feel like will explode and take it to the next level. We're not there yet. It's early. And I know that you think that there's a lot of like negativity around it, but I think that it's justified and will only help make it better in the future. That was a long rant.
I agree with you in essence. I think what's really interesting is the strategy from here. Because I agree with you that they need to start iterating on this device, but what looks like is going to happen is actually not what we were discussing a couple of months ago, because right now there are hundreds of thousands of Vision Pro components piling up in warehouses. And it looks like what Apple is going to do is to stop production of the existing Vision Pro headset this year. And the reason for that is because they have built enough of them for the remainder that they expect this version of the headset to be on sale. So it's not really a scare story.
No.
It just means that they've built enough of them, but they have all of these components in warehouses. So to use up these components, what they are supposedly going to do either at the end of next year or in 2026 is update the current hardware to introduce the M5 chip. So everything else will be the same, but you will get M5, and alongside M5, you will get Apple Intelligence, because, of course, the Vision Pro does not have it. That is interesting to me, because I don't know if let's say it gets to 2026, and in early 2026, we get Vision Pro 2 with M5, and that is all that is different, M5 and Apple Intelligence, but it weighs the same, it's the same materials, everything else is the same experience, the same displays. Is that really enough 2 years from now? I don't know if it is.
See, that's where I would be not excited. I would not be excited about that, because that is too long. If you want to do this now, like early 2025, so 1 year after release, if you can do a yearly upgrade for that, so in February, March maybe, and add in an M5. And I mean, like you just said, all they're doing is replacing the internals. There's not a whole lot there. I would hope that they could already be working on Apple Intelligence for it. So we're hoping that that's already something that's going on. So if that's the case, then I would be fine with it. But if you're pushing into 2026 and you have no signs of a cheaper, lighter weight, different version by that point, then yes, that's where we're starting to get into a scary situation, in my opinion.
And if we're talking about a scary situation, there was another detail among these reports which I thought was very interesting, which was that Apple ordered, I think it was something like, let me actually check this because I don't want to say the wrong detail here. So it was when Apple was talking to its suppliers about building the Vision Pro, and how many Vision Pros they would need to manufacture for the entire product's lifespan, they told their suppliers that they wanted to build 8 million of them. So if that's over 3 years when it's on sale, roughly, they're going to sell 8 million over that time period.
Okay.
They are now having these conversations with their suppliers about the low-cost headset. Now, you'd think if the headset is going to be a low-cost headset around $2,000, they're going to sell more of them, right? Apple doesn't think so. Apparently, Apple has ordered half as many for the same product cycle. So they are only expecting to sell 4 million rather than 8 million. So even Apple's own expectations for this product line are dropping significantly, which I think is fascinating. Because I think that what has happened with Vision Pro behind the scenes is that there has been an about turn. I think that when they launched this product, they thought, we are going to launch Vision Pro 2, which is going to be redesigned. It is going to be the hardware will have evolved by then. We will use more advanced displays. Eyesight will have evolved. All of these things will have changed. And we will also move to launch a low-cost headset that will be significantly cheaper and significantly different, which will sell in higher volume. And I think what they've realized is, oh God, we're not selling enough Vision Pros, so stop producing that. Let's instead devote resources to just doing a chip bump, because we need to move resources away from the true second generation, or what will now be the third generation, which currently is not in active development, because we need to devote more resources to the low-cost model. But the low-cost model that we're not expecting to sell very well, because we're not selling enough of the current generation. So I think that whatever is going on with it behind the scenes is a sudden panic.
Yeah. I don't know why though. That doesn't seem like Apple to have this sudden panic. I wonder what...
I don't think this product has gone how Apple wanted it to go. And as much as Tim Cook can now say in interviews, as he said I think it was even as recently as last week, he was asked about Vision Pro and he said, oh, well, you know, it's a $3,000 device. We're not expecting that to sell super well. You know, it's a first generation. Well, you weren't saying that a year ago. A year ago, you were saying this is for everyone. This is spatial computing for everyone. Of course not.
But we realize but we all know it's not. But the problem is, if, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's an easy solution, in my opinion. And you need to get something. It's got to be under $2,000. That's maybe they're realizing that, okay, you know, what we're offering and what we're pricing at is probably still too high. You know, what's really ruining all of this is the fact that you can get a MetaQuest now for what, $299, and you can get the other one for $599, and then there's like a pro version maybe still, I don't even know anymore, in their lineup, but that's like just at $1,000. If they could figure out a way to get it down to like that $1,000 price point, or the same as an iPhone or something, like, because what, man, I really want to, maybe we should switch gears here soon about the iPhone based one, because what's that going to cost if most of the computing is being offloaded to the iPhone and relying on that? So you have to buy an iPhone first off, and then what's the headset going to be on top of that? Can't be more than the iPhone, could it?
I think it could be more than the iPhone, but I think there's a big difference between charging $1,200 for an accessory and charging $2,000 or $3,500. And that is also what I think is concerning about this low-cost version of the headset, because they are going to have to strip out features for that. Supposedly, they are going to use larger, lower-resolution displays. Those displays are not great right now.
Hold on. We praised the displays when they first came out.
The displays are good for certain things.
They're good, and they're better than most in its category. Let's just...
Yes. However, like, when you are looking at text and you are trying to do actual productive work, they are not great. And likewise, with pass-through, I suspect it's more so the cameras that are not very good. But
yeah,
pass-through, if you do that in anything less than really bright lighting, mm-hmm, it does not look good.
I will say, and I'm not I feel like I've seen other people also say this, I feel like Vision OS 2.2 has somehow improved pass-through lighting, or pass-through in general with low light situations. I feel like it's gotten better. I've noticed that, like, you know, this studio is usually pretty dark when I don't have all the lights on, and it was like unusable like that. I'd have to basically turn on the overhead lights and some other, maybe open up the blinds here, and like, I didn't have to do that, and it was working pretty well. I wasn't even getting the low, like, light notification. And I feel like just in general, like, things look a little bit more clear and better. So I don't know if I'm just going crazy or if there actually was a software improvement somehow. But yeah, I mean, once you upgrade the cameras, then, you know,
that's promising. I guess what I'm saying is, the concern I have about this low-cost headset and what I suspect is going on inside Apple is conversations around tables saying, but how do we bring the price down? We can get rid of eyesight, we can use a less powerful chip, and we can use plastic instead of aluminium and glass, and that means that it will be lighter as well, and we can use that as a selling point. But what else can we actually do here? What can we remove? This is already such an expensive product. The components in it are expensive. Charging $2,000 for this thing, if it is an inferior experience in everything in term except weight, if the displays are inferior, if it does not have eyesight, if it is not as powerful, are people going to rush out and buy that at $2,000 starting price? I don't think so. $2,000 is still too expensive for an inferior experience.
If you're going to make it that experience, which I still think it would be better than a MetaQuest, in my opinion, if you... You got to price, you got to match it. You got to, or be a couple hundred dollars higher. So if you're trying to compete with that $499, $399 area, then make it like $6 or $7. Apple will never do that. But I mean, that would be where that product that you just described should be. If you're pricing it at $2,000, that's not going to work out. Unless we're wrong about what's going on inside and not as many drastic.
That's why I fully expect this low cost headset to be delayed.
Now, which one is the low
next year?
Which one are we calling the low cost? Like the actual Apple Vision, not the one that's offloaded and being glasses to your iPhone.
That is currently a theoretical product.
Completely different product. Yeah,
that is further out. What I am talking about is the single Vision headset.
Right,
it is a new product that is currently in active development and is supposed to launch either at the end of next year or the year after. But personally, I would not be surprised if that gets delayed. I think that what will happen here realistically is that we will get an M5 refresh in early 2026. And maybe in late 2026, we will get Apple Vision. But that is some time away. And I don't think that is good for this product line.
No, it's not. You can't wait that long, like I said earlier, and like you're saying now. I really think you should abandon, if that's your plan, you just abandon that right now. Keep the Apple Vision Pro, go right to this device that they're seriously considering, where it's like the X-Reel. Because I've tried the X-Reel glasses last year at CES. Yeah, I mean, it's not anywhere near a Vision Pro or a Meta, you know, obviously it's a completely different form factor in theory. So like, it's not, but it still was really, really like impressive for what it was. And if you can figure out a way to bring Apple's engineering software, its compatibility, and just the convenience and being able to use the processing power of Apple's chips and silicon, like I really feel like that is the one that's going to appeal to the masses. Oh, you mean I can slip on glasses and now like I'm not uncomfortable, I don't look ridiculous, you know, in the superficial aspect of it, and I can immediately one tap connect to my MacBook and now I have a virtual display that's really good, lag free basically, and I can get stuff done, pack up the glasses, put them in my pocket and move on. Like, that would be amazing. There's got to be different.
This is where Vision will ultimately end up going, because I don't think that Apple is going to be able to get the price of the low-cost headset down low enough, fast enough. And I don't think that the actual Vision Pro is going to evolve fast enough either, because M5 and Apple Intelligence in 2026 is not really enough. And so by the time we talk about a third generation Vision Pro, several years after that, I mean, we could be talking 2029 before this product gets redesigned. So I think that what Apple should do here, and what it will do, because I think it's the most practical, is build devices in this product line that take on the Meta Ray-Bans and integrate your AirPods, integrate Apple Intelligence, integrate some health features. And also maybe a high-end version of that product that is like the X-Reel glasses, that you can use Mac Virtual Display with, you can consume video with, you've got Apple TV Plus on there. It is a content consumption device, but it is not one that breaks the bank, and it is not one that oversells its promise. If they switch to offering those products, then they will buy themselves time to get Vision and Vision Pro in order, and maybe by the time we get into the 2030s, Vision Pro will be where it needs to be. But I think they've oversold and underdelivered, basically. I think that's what it comes down to. And it is so good, as you say, for spatial photos, spatial videos. Some of the immersive content on it is excellent. It is undoubtedly the best headset experience that you can currently buy.
All of the content,
but it has been oversold.
I don't know that it's been under-delivered. I guess you can't oversell something without under-delivering in theory, but like, I feel like what we're getting is still so good in comparison to what else is out there.
Yes, but
that they're Apple delivering not, on that.
Apple did not they're, compare themselves to what else is available.
Well,
Apple
no,
said,
but
we're not doing a
better
device.
That.
We are doing a spatial computing device, which is this whole thing. So
sure,
they presented an image of what spatial computing would be like. It is not that. Because they showed people, you know, with their spreadsheets and their multiple windows and actually doing productive work. Now, I don't think that even 90% of people who buy a Vision Pro are currently doing that with this device.
I think you'd be surprised. I see so many people in forums and messages and just like people who tweet like, oh, I use mine every day and I use the Mac Virtual Display every day and love it. Like even the comments that I had on my last video about it. Like there were so many people that were saying that that's what they use it for 7 to 8 hours a day. And I don't know how.
I don't doubt that there are people that are getting a lot out of the device. But in terms of what Apple has promised from it, this everything device, it is immersive content. It is you will even use it to capture content by using that capture button on it. And everything that it has been sold to do, it does do many things quite well and better than
it
the competition.
It can do all of those things.
But
you just don't want to do all of those things with it. That's the problem.
Yeah. And I think that especially in the state that it currently is in, whenever anyone really in this sort of wider consumer tech space gets talking about Vision Pro, what they end up talking about is, well, where does it go next? And, oh, well, it will eventually be better at doing this. But what about right now? And what about what has been available for 6 months? That is the experience that currently costs $3,500 starting price. Before you've added on extra storage, before you've added on any accessories you want to buy, you want to buy a Magic Keyboard, you want to buy extra headbands that relieve some of that pressure. You want to add some prescription lenses. You want to add Apple Care. You want to add the travel case. That is the proposition as it stands. And that is what I mean by overpromising and underdelivering. I think that Apple would have been better off buying themselves a year, 2 years, and debuting this device when that content was available, when they had maybe realized through more internal testing that that thing is just too heavy. It just is. There is no reason for it to be made of aluminium. Why have you done that? It is so unnecessary. Well, it is more expensive for you to manufacture, and it is more unpleasant for the user.
How many plastic
The AirPods Max should show us that. But they've recognized with devices like AirPods, they're not made of aluminium. They're made of plastic because that is the best material for that. We don't use aluminium iPhone cases. We don't have aluminium Apple Watch bands. I know that you have some titanium ones, but in terms of like, they understand that different materials are good for different situations.
But like, sure, yeah. But like, as a whole, like the high-end products that Apple offers, most of them are made up not from plastic. Like we had one plastic iPhone and people loved it and Apple was like, nah. And removed it.
I still think it's crazy. I think it's completely crazy to have a device that is on the front of your head without a counterweight that is made of materials that are as heavy as this. I think it is unjustifiable. And I think it speaks to the fact that this product was... I don't think the whole product was rushed because they've been working on this thing for a decade. When they first were working on this product, they imagined it being tethered to an iPod. That is how long ago they have been thinking about this device. But I think what has happened here is that as the years have gone on, they've thought, God, we need to get this out. You know, COVID's hit, remote working. We need to get this device out into the public as fast as possible. Meta is moving. We need to start iterating because we can't get to the glasses without getting this product out first. And I think that they just rushed it.
I don't think
anyone can look at Vision OS 1 and say that is not a finished product. Look at how much immersive video was available for 6 months? Only what, 5 immersive videos on the whole device for 6 months? And each of those is only like 10 minutes. And it's only now that content's becoming available. How many games were available? Even now, how many AAA games are available?
Yeah.
It's
no different to me than Apple Intelligence in that release. It's honestly like, oh, we've probably been working on this for years and now we have to move quickly because there's ChatGPT, there's Google's assistant that's getting better.
I think they had to do that with Apple Intelligence. I understand why they had to.
And I feel like that's the same situation. They had to get it out because there's so many other headsets that are doing, and with Meta, you know, making a really good headset
but
for
they're not
super
selling
cheap.
Enough of them that it doesn't matter. AI is such a massive thing. Apple was losing space. Sure. It was affecting their share price. I don't think that investors were panicked about Apple not competing with Meta headsets that basically they sell...
No.
They sell a decent number of them for what they are, but compared to a business like the iPhone, it's nothing. So I just think that if I was Tim Cook and I could go back in time, I would have said, let's unveil Vision Pro in 2025. Let's unveil it once we have done a lot more internal testing. We are going to debut it with Apple Intelligence, with a huge amount more immersive content. We're going to make sure that it's got decent games and ultimately that it is sufficiently comfortable, that everything is ready. And maybe we'll even be able by that point to introduce it at a slightly lower price, even if that is just $299. And I think that it would have been a more honest proposition, but I just think they jumped the gun very, very slightly. And that is why we are witnessing, at least from the perspective of these reports and these rumors and the reviews from the tech community, just a little bit of panic. And just a little bit of unease about, okay, so are we going to now do something tethered to the iPhone? Is the low-cost one going to be tethered to the iPhone? Or are we going for Xperial glasses that actually don't offer its own apps? What are we doing here? Are we going for the low-cost headset? Is the second generation one going to be pushed out? We're going to take all the people off that. We're now just going to do M5. This is not a product line in a healthy place right now. And it's not to say that it's not a very, very impressive piece of engineering, because I absolutely believe it is. And I believe it is the best headset experience that you can currently buy. Absolutely, if you are in the Apple ecosystem, it is. There is no question. I would way prefer to have a Vision Pro than have a MetaQuest.
Right.
But there is no denying here that there are problems in this product line.
Of course not. I mean, I would be foolish not to. I just think that I would have been fine with them going your route and waiting a little bit longer. But how sick were we of talking about it? For years, we're talking about it. And that we're like, all right, it's eventually going to come. Like, I feel like, and like I mentioned earlier, that I'm also okay with them just kind of like beta testing in the real world. I'm okay with it because I think that'll help speed up the process to make things even better.
But I think that...
But I don't like where your plans... Yeah, I don't like where it's going if that's the reports are true. I don't like where
this
it's going.
This thing, though, is to me what makes Apple different to other companies, because Apple doesn't beta test in the public. Apple doesn't release unfinished products. Apple has historically always been the company that says, no, well, we won't do a foldable phone. We're going to wait until we're ready to do it. And this time, they've not behaved like that. And I think that it is behaving like how Samsung behaves, where they throw out a device, you know, guess we'll sell it for this much, don't know how many we'll sell, maybe we'll learn some lessons from this, and then when the next generation comes out, that user base is screwed over, because what is going to happen to the people that in a year's time have bought this M2 version, and then there's the M5 version with Apple Intelligence? Tough luck. So
hopefully there's some good upgrade programs available.
I don't think there will be, because the upgrade programs are dependent on resale and trade-in.
Yeah. Isn't it already like half the price? A couple months after release?
I don't think it's going to be appealing in that regard. So I just think
I came into this overly positive about it again.
You actually came into this conversation super positive. So I commend you for that. And I think that if the Vision product line gets to a place where they have got a range of products. So let's say within the decade, they've got the Vision Pro 3, they've got maybe the Apple Vision 2 at a lower price point. They have got these, they've got like a glasses product and a pro version, which is like the X-Real glasses. And then they have got a low cost version of the glasses that doesn't have display technology, but it exists to integrate health features and AirPods. Kind of like the Meta Ray-Bans, but you also get cameras in there as a low-end version of that. So you've got four products in the lineup within 10 years, catering to different needs. I think we'll be in an okay place. But right now, it just looks pretty rocky, and I don't think this has been dealt with in a fantastic way.
Dude, I just thought about the possibility of... because the Ray-Bans, the Meta Ray-Bans are so good for like listening to music or audio. No, there's not the best sounding stuff, but it's pretty good. But just like being discreet and being able to listen to things while like just wearing a regular old pair of glasses. And then if you want to take some photos or videos, you don't have to bring your phone out. You can kind of be a little more present in the moment. Getting something like that, that integrates seamlessly with an iPhone, where like, oh, look, I immediately open up the Photos app and it's already there. Like it's, because you can, it's not that easy of an upload process. You kind of have to like connect it to its own Wi-Fi and whatever. It's fine. It works fine. But like just the integration that we come to know and expect from Apple and having something like that. And then if you take the audio from the Apple Vision Pro currently and can somehow make that be the, you know, what's the conduction, the bone conduction style? Like, oh, because that sounds incredible on the Apple Vision Pro. I don't think it gets enough hype.
I agree. I think that is one of the most impressive things.
Really,
about it,
really good. You can get spatial audio somehow that way without kind of, you know, making it too much of an annoyance in public. That's good. I would be, and somehow it works with your iPhone in some ways, maybe like watch content that way and won't be as, you know, disturbing to others. And I don't know.
But even if Apple Intelligence delivers on its promise, you would then have Apple Intelligence integrated into that device. So you can have all this stuff like visual intelligence. And That product seems way more compelling to me right now.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and then what? The other version would have some visual capabilities. I mean, I think that would be the one that I would be more interested in, as long as it's not something that shies away from the design of like regular glasses, sort of, because, you know, at the end of the day, you just don't really want to be looking like the center of attention all the time. So if you have something that's a little bit more discreet that you can still do all of this stuff with, and still be able to like not dissociate or detach yourself from reality in the moment that you're in, like, that's what I think Apple is. I mean, I thought they were, and hopefully are still planning to do, but that's the area that I think if they can take what they've done so far and get that down into the version that we're talking about, that's where the excitement lies. But if it's going to be this low cost version or just a chip upgrade in 2 years and then another year or two after that for a low cost version, like, no thank you. I think by that point it'll just be too late. I hope I'm wrong. I don't know. But can we end on a positive note? Is there, I don't know. I feel like that was a bummer there.
I mean, the positive note is,
I was very positive about this. I was
come
super
full circle. You like my virtual display and you like the upgrades to it.
I think it's very good. And I'm going to start like, it's right there. I feel like people don't believe me. I bought a thing to make me use this more. It's not that I don't like using it. I just don't love the heaviness of it. That's the ultimately the biggest thing that
I think
we need to fix.
We should check in. Once VisionOS 2.2 has actually been released, maybe early next year, we should have another conversation when we know a little bit more about the state of these rumors as well. And also see if you've actually had a chance to use Vision Pro more because you wanted to, not because you had to do it for a video or because you thought you'd test it for a week, but because you actually wanted to. Because that, for me, is the key thing. The day when you say to me that it was such a good experience that you wanted to use it, you used it instead of another device.
Define want, because I often want to use my Vision Pro, but then I ultimately don't.
Well, when you both want to and do it.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, for those of you who are out there listening and maybe bashing your head in because you're thinking we're absolutely insane and you use your Vision Pro all the time, please let us know why, how, what you use your Vision Pro for. And then, for those of you who have other things to say, obviously, let us know as well. And we'll catch everybody in the next episode.